Hi, I'm Mike Esnault, and welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's AC23 Plus Artist Legacy Series podcast. This is a series where we talk to artists who are doing amazing things in the areas of the arts, including performance, education, production, as well as arts advocacy. We record this series in the Virginia and John Nolan Black Box Studio, as well as in the Jan and Bill Grimes Recording Studio here at the Carrie Siraj Community Arts Center. Be sure to visit artsbr.org for more information on all the great things we are doing here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. Hope you enjoyed the podcast series, and thanks for tuning in.
All right, I'd like to welcome our AC23 listeners to another session of our Legacy Series here. I'm Mike Esnault, the Director of Arts and Education for the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have an old friend, former bandmate, going way back, Mr. James Fogel. James, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And, you know, there's so many things we can talk about, but one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the show is you've done a lot for Baton Rouge, the whole scene here, whether it's through music, providing but one of the things I want to talk about is the venue that you have, Mid-City Ballroom, but also Baton Rouge Music Exchange, and just all the things you've done. But let's start from the very beginning, man. So where are you from?
I'm from pretty much from Baton Rouge. So okay. I was born in Fort Polk, but raised here.
Oh, you see, I just learned something. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school?
Robert E. Lee High.
Old Lee High.
I think it's called Liberty High now, right?
Yeah, it's changed names, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right on.
Well, I knew you or got to know you initially, I guess, in early college as a musician.
Yes.
I've always known you as a musician. And how did you get into music? Where did that start?
You know, I think my brother, who was a lot older than me, 16 years older than me, he used to play Beatles records and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And I guess it just seeped in the old brain, and that's what it was. And I started playing drums.
So it started on drums.
I started on drums, yeah. And I've like, you know, I was very young. I remember having one of these little drum sets with the paper heads, and I ripped that to shreds in about mm-hmm. 2 seconds. And my mom, who has always been very encouraging to me developing into my own person, she bought me a real drum set from Sears, from the Sears catalog. I guess I was about, I don't know, 7, 8.
Oh, so pretty
like
young.
So, yeah. And I would like, just put on records and play to records.
Yeah.
You know, so the first thing I remember, the first record I remember playing to is a record by the Grassroots. And,
yeah.
Just doing stuff like that. So, and just, I don't know. Just, that's how it started.
Well, so were you involved, you know, later on in like band programs or that kind of thing through school, or was it always off to the side?
Yeah. Or? You know, okay. So, sixth grade, the year when they made schools middle school, I went to Valley Park Junior High, and the band, I got in the band there, and just the concert band, and was playing snare drum and doing all that. The next year, the band director, Reginald Morrison, I don't know if you remember him or not.
I remember that name, yeah.
He took a hiatus for a year, and mm-hmm. we had, I think she was like the women's basketball coach or something, but she was also a band person too. Her name was Cynthia Morgan. I wish I could find her, because she's the reason, she's pretty much the reason that I really started getting into it. We're playing drums in the band room, and she's like, hey Fogel, why don't you go get those drums and make a drum set out of them, let's play some drum set. And so I did, and we were playing the theme from Rocky, and she gave me this drum solo in the middle of the theme from Rocky when the school was doing an assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just banged the heck out of it. I didn't know what I was doing. And after that, all of a sudden everybody liked me and was giving me candy, and girls were talking to me. It's like, okay.
You were one of the popular kids.
Like,
now.
This is what I want to do now. So,
right.
There it was.
Yeah.
But Cynthia Morgan, wherever you are out there, I wish I could find you, and I would give you a big hug and a kiss and thank you.
Well, you know, one of the cool things about doing these interviews, especially with anybody involved in the arts, but especially musicians, because that's kind of the lane we both come from, is that seems to be a common thread. Like there's somebody a lot of times in the school system,
yeah.
band director, what have you, choir director, whatever it is, that makes that impact. Indeed. Like that kind of steers you in a certain way all of a sudden, yeah. and you have a trajectory.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, I don't know which way it would have gone, but, you know, I probably would have got into it anyway, but that was really, she was a big deal in my life, and she does not even know. I wish she did.
And that, what level was that, middle school?
That was seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
Yeah, 12 years old.
Okay. Fast forward to Lehigh. Were you playing in the band there and doing stuff?
No, man. I went to Lehigh, and, you know, I've signed up when I first got in there, signed up for the band, and they said, if you want to be in the jazz band, you have to be in the marching band. And so I'm like, well, you know what? I'll take shop, because I'm not going to be in a marching band. This is not my thing. Cup of tea. Yeah. No. Yeah. So
that's also a common thing I've noticed, and that was me as well. I went to Catholic High, but I was interested in the jazz band, and same thing I had to do with the marching band. And there seems to be a common mentality of jazz guys really not liking marching band.
Well, I can understand what is it. You know, and I'm not going to go around saying that I'm a jazz guy or anything, but I mean that's what they had. They had the jazz band, and it's like, well, if you want to do the jazz band, you have to be in the marching band too. Right. Like, yeah. So, like, I was like, oh well, you know. Thank you, Lee High School.
Right. That. But it obviously didn't stop the music. So you were playing music throughout high school.
Yeah, 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 constantly, all the time.
Yeah. So what bands? You forming bands and that kind of thing, or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess when I got a little older, and you know, I've really probably the first kind of real sort of incarnation of a band was when I met our mutual friend who we were talking about earlier, David Myers.
David Myers,
and
guitarist.
He was playing guitar. He went to BRH, and I think he was in the rock band. They had jazz band and rock band. He was in the rock band. And I can't even recollect how we met, maybe at a party or something, but we started talking music. And then he came over to the house, and we started playing, all these hair metal covers and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Got another guy in the band, got a bass player in the band, and just started doing that, you know?
And were y'all starting to, like, play around town eventually or doing things?
No, we never got a singer. And we would have parties at my house, and people would come over and listen to us play instrumental versions of Ozzy Osbourne and stuff. So it was very weird. You know, then he started writing his own music, which was kind of, I don't even know how I would describe that music. You know, he's...
Yeah,
kind of quasi, sort of jazzy, you know. Maybe some Matheny influences, maybe some Holdsworth stuff, just some things, you know. And then, I met this other guy. His name's Mike Esnault, and we started playing. And another guy, Russ Allor, and we formed
wonderful
this little
bassist.
Band.
Yeah,
we did play a few places, I remember, and really cool. David was playing the guitar synthesizer, which was kind of infancy that time. I remember the tracking on it. You would hit it, but an hour later, the note would actually come out.
Toys. Musicians and their toys.
But I mean, I always liked that music. And I mean, you wrote some songs. I think Russ wrote a couple of songs. And, you know, I've just kind of sat back and played drums. But it was such a fun thing.
It was a fun thing.
So that's probably the first real band that I was in, really, you know, just doing that. I mean, I would play around by myself and other people, but I think that was the first cohesive unit, and we actually had songs and we played, and I think we covered some Matheny's,
we did some Matheny covers, and then,
It just, like, I mean, who was doing that? Nobody. So that's pretty cool.
And for the listeners out there, we're talking about Pat Matheny, Alan Holdsworth, you know, some legendary musicians. One of the things I like to touch on when we're doing these things is kind of paint the picture of what Baton Rouge was like back then. So I'm trying to remember some of the places that existed that we played at. I know one of them was a place called The Library.
Yep, that's correct.
Off of Chime Street.
I think that was the first show we played.
Was that the first one?
That was the first one we ever played. And,
yeah.
You know, and I guess we still had a lot of our high school friends or whatever, because I remember it. Maybe I'm just... maybe I'm just like remembering it wrong, but if I remember correctly, the place was just totally packed.
I do remember that. It's reality. It's not a dream you're making.
Yeah, it's like wow. It's like all these people are coming out to see this. So it's, you know, and I think people really enjoyed it. We played at the Bayou, which was down.
I forgot about that.
I think we did two gigs at the Bayou, and then we played a couple of parties. I remember playing a couple of parties and doing things, and you know, that was about it, I guess. But there is a recording out there that I have. I've got the recordings of the stuff and everything. And I think you and David did some a little bit after that, like with the drum machine. Without me, I wasn't involved.
I can't remember. Honestly, yeah. I can't. It wasn't memorable because it didn't have you in it.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, okay. So those are the early years. So, again, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you've done some things, and I know I'm jumping ahead quite a bit, but one of the things I want to make sure we talk about is Mid-City Ballroom and Baton Rouge Music Exchange. So let's talk about that for a minute. Okay. How did that start? What was the incentive, the initiative? What was the goal? And How have you felt about that since you started it?
Gosh, if I had incentives and goals, I'd be a much better person. It's just kind of, you know, I've always thought about like doing an all ages place, and I always thought to myself, well, the problem with the all ages place is the darn kids. Mm-hmm. But you know, whatever. But anyway, I had the Baton Rouge Music Exchange going on, and we started off in this little place on Perkins Road. It was about 690 square feet.
Yep.
All right. So, and because we do consignment and trades and do all kinds of stuff, that instantly, really, really, about from the first week, it was full of gear. So if you and I are standing in there, there's nobody else can fit in there.
Right.
It just got so full.
Right.
And so that was about a year and a half doing it like that, operating out of there. And I was kind of actively looking for a bigger place.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove by this place on South Acadian, and it's an old church. It was still a church, actually, and it had a big for sale sign. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a real estate agent also, for all your real estate needs.
Yep.
So I made an appointment, went in and looked at, and I'm like, wow, this could be a music store and a live music venue and all kind of stuff. I called my partner at the time. I'm like, we have to buy this. We got to do this. And so he came and he's like, yeah. And so we did.
Did it require a whole lot of renovation?
Man, total renovation. Yeah, like everything. And this was 2016. So it was the end of 2016, right after the Great Flood.
The flood, yeah.
And all that stuff happened. So, I mean, it probably took a good year. Because, I mean, all the contractors and all the people were very busy doing all kinds of stuff. Baton Rouge was pretty devastated.
Sure.
And so it took a while. And then we kind of opened. We did our first show. It was a Dyson. It was going to be a Dyson House show, if you remember the Dyson House.
Yeah.
We took it on over there because it was going to be more people. So that was the first. That was the first show, and our friend Chris LeBlanc, he was the first person to play there. So we got him to open up for the blues guy playing. So he got up there and did that, and the place was packed, and it was really cool. So, but we weren't really ready. So you know, goals and incentives and all that. I mean, I just kind of everything that I do, I just kind of jump in and just do it and see what happens. I don't really plan things. I'm a horrible planner.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I should do it and see, you know. So
the
Music Exchange, this October 24th is going to be our 10th anniversary, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, congrats. Yeah.
And I think we just past August, like in the middle of August, that was our 7th anniversary of Mid-City Ballroom.
Yeah.
So, and it's great having both, you know, having the space, and we have the record store, Pop Shop Records, and Baton Rouge Music Exchange, and Mid-City Ballroom all under the same roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I did have a goal, I want to have a place that's all ages, that people from all walks of life, they can come and feel safe and comfortable and have a cool place to hang out.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the goal, just to create the scene and have a good, cool, safe place you can go and be yourself and just chill.
Well, what's nice about that space is it has a vibe to it. Yeah, you know, it's just a quick hit by. But at the same time, I mean, you're located. I love the location because you're right in the heart, really the heart of Baton Rouge. And you've had some, I mean, you've had a lot of people play there at this point. So
it's been a lot. It's been a lot of people.
Are you the one who, like, are you in charge of all the booking? Do you handle it yourself, or how does that work?
We do. They're mostly, it's me and my guy over there. His name is Robert, and he runs, he's the sound guy. He's a head sound guy, and he works at the stores, and he also does a whole lot of the booking stuff, too. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't do all of it. You know, if it's, I guess the more expensive national acts that we get, I'll probably handle that, you know. But he handles a lot of the local stuff, and then like the DIY bands do a lot of punk rock. There's a lot of metal over there for sure. The metal kids show out, you know. So it's you know, shout out to them. So they keep us running.
Well, that's another thing I dig about what you're doing is you really have a wide array of genres that play there.
Yeah. I've been wanting to expand and do. I definitely want to do more jazz stuff. We have Marion Pickett from M's Fine and Mellow Cafe.
Good old M.
She's starting to do some more shows like this. Maybe I hope finally I talked her into doing so, because I've been pestering her since we opened. Because I want to do more jazz stuff. I want to do more singer songwriter things. I want to keep the variety going, and that's something that I've been wanting to focus on. It's just hard. We even bought a big grand piano, put it up there, and it was used two times. Well, all right, you know, that just went away, you know. And so, but I'd like to get to that point where we're doing things like that, you know, as well. So.
Well, speaking of that, your name came up the other night. I saw Marion. She came to a place I was playing, and inevitably your name came up, and we were talking about a pianist who's going to be playing there. I think his name is Jeff Gardner.
Yeah.
A wonderful pianist out of New York, but has a lot of Brazilian influence in his playing. So, this wasn't meant to be a specific plug for that, but that's an example of like how the variety of music that you can have.
Absolutely,
over there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the more the merrier. I've always been a fan of every kind of music, pretty much. I don't like the new country so much, but
is it really country?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I'll do it there. So I mean, look, whatever brings the people in and whatever people like, I'm down with doing. So, variety is the key, I think.
Yeah,
that's what we strive for. So.
And then, like you said, you have the record shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've kind of. Me personally, I've kind of done a full circle and come back to LPs more recently. And I don't know.
Why?
What do you mean?
Why? How come you've come back to them?
Well, okay.
Sorry, I don't mean to interview.
No. This is a great conversation. Number one, it's so tangible. You know, you're holding the album and you see all of the artwork, you see the credits, everybody involved. Right. And I remember as a kid, because we're about the same age, you know, that's how we grew up, was with LPBs.
You put it on, lay back down on your bed and read the...
And that was part of the experience.
Absolutely, I agree.
And that's what kind of went, for me personally, I wanted to know, like, who played bass on this? Who was the keyboard player? You know, who produced it? All those kinds of things.
Right.
And you kind of miss out on that on, you know, the more digital mediums.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it just sounds good.
Analog. It does. I at one point I set up my system again. I've had one, but it's not set up now. But at some point I did, and I had my little nice speakers, and I sat down in between them, and I put on this record by The Association, who is one of my favorite kind of 60s bands. All their vocal harmonies, all that kind of stuff. And the way they record it, I mean, it's just, things are extremely panned. You know, the drums will be the whole drums will be all on the left side.
Right.
And there's like six vocals on the right and four on the, and just sat there and listened to it. And the record was in great condition. And I'm like, wow, this sounds incredible.
Right.
But it doesn't last for as long. Cause then the more you play it, then, I also remember when I was a kid playing drums to my Kiss records, my headphones stretching across the room. I'm playing drums and records skipping because of the vibrations of the drums. And I remember thinking to myself, I wish I had like a little thing that had all the music in it and I could just and I didn't have to have any wires or anything, and I could just set it down somewhere and play along with it in the headphones.
I
enjoy both. I think records are cool, and like you said, for the nostalgia and just for the tasting and touching and smelling and looking at the thing and doing all that, the experience is really cool. But I also love that I can just open up Spotify too and just listen to whatever.
Oh, you know, and hey, I certainly do that. But I can touching on that a little bit more. I remember, you know, my three sons, they grew up in the digital world. And I just remember one day pulling out, actually, it was an old Beatles album that I inherited from my mother. It was Sgt. Pepper's.
There you go.
And pulling that album out and putting it on the turntable, playing it, and then having my youngest son, watching the experience, you know, and he's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, like, they did, because we grew up with it, so we know that, and we grew into the digital age. But for someone who didn't grow up with that and experience it for the first time, it's like, yeah, this has a lot of weight to it.
I think it's cool. Well, I will say this. I think our the buyers for the record shop, I mean, it's probably 70% young people.
That's good.
There's people that are our age, and all ages really, but I mean, there's a lot of young people buying the records, so
yeah.
I mean, that's cool. So, I mean, if they're getting that same thing out of it, that's cool. Maybe all romance in the world is not lost, so that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, so what's coming up? What are you excited about with Mid-City? I mentioned one show, but what else do you have coming up?
Right now it sort of slows down in the summer a little bit, but we're going to start picking up, and I'm going to start working on some other things that I can't really say right now because it's not written in stone or anything, but I've got a couple things up my sleeve, but nothing really like big time mentionable right now, Eric Johnson, we've had him over there three times this year. He's playing at the House of Blues, I think, so, and they have that clause, he can't play Baton Rouge,
that radius clause,
and so skipped out on that. We just had the Producers, which is one of my favorite bands of all time.
I love that band, man.
They're so cool, and they're still really cool. And
of course, they had Baton Rouge ties with Tim Smith, the bass player. Who
they did, their third record, I think he was actually on that record, and then he played with them and toured and did all that stuff, and he went on to lots of big things, playing
Jellyfish,
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
Yeah.
I think he did some stuff with the Finn Brothers from Squeeze.
You're right.
House and all kinds of stuff.
Product of Baton Rouge.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the few that made it out.
Yes, indeed.
That's right. So yeah. That's great. So, yeah.
Well, good deal. And, I can't let you go without bringing up roller skating. In the Cortana Mall.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, this is completely unrelated, side note, but I find it fun. So tell me about that. You were roller skating in Cortana Mall when?
That was, I guess, 8 years ago now. So it was on my 50th birthday. And I would always tell my friend, we'd go to Cortana Mall every Saturday. I was 7th, 8th grade, and we'd go and hang out all day. And we also roller skated at night, you know, and did all that. And it was always kind of like a little fantasy of mine, just to roller skate through Cortana Mall. Okay. So my 50th birthday, I went across the street to the shop, to whatever sporting goods place that is, and bought myself a pair of skates and strapped them on and roller skated around Cortana Mall all day. And they're playing like loud 80s music, and it's freezing cold, and there's lots of ladies doing their walking routine, and you know, like there's two shops open, but it was so cool, you know. Except for the falling, but and the getting up.
Nobody likes that part.
No, well, you know, I mean, I used to fall all the time when you're 12 and 13. It's all right, you get rid of it, but not when you're 50 something. So it hurts.
We were kind of reminiscing before we started recording some of the roller skating places in the area back then, back in the 80s. And what were some of those? I remember Leo's.
We had Leo's. We had Skate World, which was way out on Jefferson Highway. Skate City, which was almost to Denham Springs.
Okay, yeah.
There were a couple more I remember, but I can't really recall. So,
right.
I mean, we were kind of back and forth between Leo. Oh, the whatever the place was called. I guess that maybe it was Leo. Because there was the ice skating place right next
You had the ice skating as well. Yeah.
So.
Yes. That was always a rough ride for me.
yeah, you know. Yeah, and the old Leo's, the orange building on North Street, that's still standing somehow. But
right.
That's the last time I was there. The band The U.S. Times were playing a show there, and I went to see that show.
Yeah,
and that kind of seems like a dream because did that really happen? But they. I know I was there, and they were playing a show at the Leo's Roller Rink.
I hadn't thought about that band in a long time.
Yeah. So that was one of my bands I played in for. Okay. I'm actually still the drummer for the band. So I think I've been the longest drummer, and nobody ever knows I'm the drummer for the Times. They're like, I didn't know that, man.
I'm like, no, I did not
man,
know
I've,
that.
I've been their drummer for the last 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just. See, I learned something.
And finally, at the last show, Gino Ludi, the singer, he stopped the show and he came back there, and then he's like, he introduced me as the U.S. Times drummer. So I don't, you know, and so everybody should know. And after the show, I had two people come up, just like, oh, I didn't know you. Wow, you filling in for so and so tonight? Oh my gosh, were you at the show? So yeah, still I can't get a break like man. Rodney Dangerfield of the music.
No respect.
Yeah.
So well, James, I'm glad you could make this.
Yeah, me too.
It's a pleasure having you, and you know, just thanks for you know doing so much for the community with again in Mid City Ballroom with Baton Rouge Music Exchange as well as the Pop Shop, and that's just. Well, the lights just went on in the room while we're interviewing.
Wow.
Just a little mood lighting.
Wow, okay, cool.
but no, it's a great service to our community, and I know you have fun doing it.
I do have fun, you know, playing all the places that I play and different people, and then having everybody at the venue and doing all that. And certainly appreciate everybody who hangs out and comes to shows and supports the local scene and everything. And I appreciate all the stuff that you do. I've always admired you and your talent and everything.
Ben.
And so you know, I'm glad to be here doing this, and I'm glad we could finally hook up and have a little chat and things. So yeah, for sure.
Me too, and yeah, all you listeners out there. You know, support live music. It's so important to our culture and just our community.
Very, very important, yes.
So, well, James, thanks again, man, and God bless, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge would like to acknowledge our generous sponsors, the Shell Corporation, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Louisiana Office of Cultural Development, and the City of Baton Rouge.